called upon your retirement. It was not blind chance or scientific advance that caused all creation to be. And it wasn't a boat that kept Noah afloat when all others drowned in the sea. It wasn't his charm or the strength of his arm that placed Joseph at Pharaoh's right hand. And it wasn't a dam or the skill of a man that made Israel to cross on dry land. It was not what he ate that made Samson great and allowed him to conquer the foe. And it wasn't the sling or the force of his swing that dealt out Goliath's last blow. Jericho's wall was not caused to fall by an army of strength and of might. And it was not his best friend that had comfort to lend when Job had no will left to fight. There was no checkbook when down at the brook Elijah had run out of dough. And political clout didn't help Daniel out when let down to the lions below. Your day job is through, Peter. What will you do as you hang up your apron and knife? For cutting the grass at Glenfinglass will not cut it the rest of your life. And it won't be your pension that relieves all the tension of trying to make each day count. With parents and land, your business demands, there's plenty you have to surmount. But these saints of old have all one story told, and their message is simple, not odd. Their confidence lay not in vessels of clay, nothing more, nothing less. It was God. Amen.
First Samuel 25. So this morning we'll look at a little bit at Nabal and Abigail, and just a little bit of David as it pertains to the story. Just before we read the word, I'll ask the Lord's blessing on it. Our Father in heaven, so grateful that we can gather today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and sing your praises, remember you in the breaking of bread. And as we open your word, Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts and that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would set us in the right way. We pray that your word and your spirit would do a wonderful work in all of our hearts this day. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we'll read to you 1 Samuel 25. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. And the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be both to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. And now I have heard that you have shears. Now your shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was anything missing to them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will show you. Wherefore, let the young man find favor in your eyes, for we come on a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever comes to your hand and to your servants, and to your son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it to men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said to his men, Gird ye on every man a sword. And they girded on every man a sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, Go on before me. Behold, they come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the donkey, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertains to him, and he has requited me evil for good. So more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light, any man. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lightened off the donkey, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let your handmaid, I pray thee, speak in your audience, and hear the words of your handmaid. Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your handmaid, saw not the young man of my lord whom you did send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord has withholden you from coming to shed blood, and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now let your enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which your handmaid has brought unto my lord, let it even be given to the young men that follow after my lord. I pray thee forgive the trespass of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fights the battles of the Lord. And evil has not been found in thee all your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and to seek your soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. And the souls of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appointed you ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief to you, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either you have shed blood causeless, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your advice, and blessed be you, which have kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For very indeed, as the Lord lives, the God of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting you, except you had quickly come to meet me, surely there had not been left to Nabal a man by the morning. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have listened to your voice and have accepted your person." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after, that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servants from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake to her, saying, "David sent us to you to take you to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let your handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail quickly hasted and arose and rode upon a donkey with 5 damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. So we'll just begin with here a little overview of the persons of Nabal, Abigail, and David. Just
paperclip my Bible together.
So yeah, so we'll look at the persons here of Nabal, Abigail, and David, and then we'll just consider a little bit of how they interacted with each other in this circumstance. So Nabal, he was great as far as possessions were concerned. He also had a beautiful wife with good understanding who was trusted by his servants. And the inspired word here, it calls Nabal a cherish. And well, what in the world does that mean? So if we look that up in the Strong's Concordance, cherish means the following: a severe, unfeeling, cruel, harsh, flexible, obstinate, hardened, stubborn. Not a list of things you want to be known to or be married to. As a youth leader for some time, you often hear jokes about marrying money. And if not marrying money, well, at least marrying someone with the potential to make lots of money. But listen, when you read, well, it's just not all about money. When you read what Nabal was like here, there's certainly a miserable type of a person to live with. Severe, unfeeling, cruel, harsh, inflexible, obstinate, hardened, stubborn. Nabal's, both his wife and his servant, they both considered him to be a fool and also a son of Belial, and that he wouldn't listen to anyone. It was a very difficult person to speak to. In other words, he was always right in his own eyes. Abigail, we're told that Abigail was of good understanding. Well, what does that mean? It means that, according to Strong's Concordance, it means that Abigail was she had intelligence, success, happiness, discretion, knowledge, understanding, and prudence. We're told that Abigail was of a beautiful countenance, which means she was then a person that was beautiful on the inside and the outside. She was altogether lovely, as the Song of Solomon says. Abigail, she was a spiritual woman, and she had spiritual insights, which were aligned with the heart of the Lord. David, as far as, and we're not gonna look at an all-encompassing character sketch of David today. We could spend the rest of the summer on David, but we're just gonna look at David as in this instance. He speaks words of peace. He says, he sends his messengers to say, "Peace be to you, peace be to your house, peace be to all that you have." And as soon as he's insulted, he's ready to go kill. He does listen to godly counsel. And he blesses the messenger of the Lord for this godly counsel and the messenger that sends it. So how do these very different personalities interact in our story this morning? And just a little bit of a thing on Nabal here and Carmel and these sheep. So he has 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and they're grazing pasture land. Now, if this was Eastern Canada meaning like Ontario, Quebec, the Maritimes, that quantity of stock would be spread over several hundred acres. So it's not like they're all in the backyard and we just keep an eye on them. They're spread out over several hundred acres, and they're moving fluid through the pasture, through the grazing land. They're just a moving mob of livestock. Now, I was looking up, trying to look up online a little bit about the wilderness of Paran. I have no clue what what the stocking density was there, but I'm thinking it would have taken quite a few more acres and area of land to feed that kind of stock. As a mountainous region, I'm sure they would have had their spring green up or their green up after the rainy season or after some rains, but it wasn't this. It was hilly, mountainous, rocks and crevices and crags, and it's just not a gentle rolling hills with lots of lush pasture. It doesn't look like at all like that in the pasture. So, you know, there's lots of hiding places for predators, both animal predators and the predators that are thieves and bandits, and you know, the type that kind of took care of the Good Samaritan, I guess, when he was heading. He rescued a guy in the wilderness that was beaten up by thieves and robbers. It's probably a high crime district, so to speak. There's lots of places to hide. And so when you have your stock spread out over several, many hundreds of acres, it's not like you can just keep an eye on them. But David and his men, they were like a wall to Nabal and his shepherds, both by day and night. There's a lot of predators at night. Anyways, I'm just explaining the difficulty of how it would have been for a man and his shepherds to keep track. And when you have an extra 600 guys, being the wall around the stock, that's a huge thing. So they'd lost nothing. And at this particular point in time, Saul had stopped pursuing David. Like just before this, actually, David had an opportunity to kill Saul, and he doesn't. And just after this instance, David has another opportunity to kill Saul, and he doesn't. He doesn't raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. But here, in the middle, it's kind of symmetrical. In the middle here, David, he's offended, and he's ready to go kill Nabal. So I just think the symmetry is interesting. But Saul was after David, and he was in the area of Maon where Nabal was from not that long ago. But he heard that the Philistines had invaded the land, so then he leaves chasing David and he goes back. So it's not like Nabal had never heard of David. I mean, David was fleeing Saul in his neighborhood. Different people, when David's on the run, they said, "Ah, Saul, David, aren't you looking for him? He's over here." And so. David, and even Abigail in her speech, she's saying, like, you can tell from listening to her that she knows that David's been anointed king, and there's other things that you gather from this, that this, you know, people know who David is. And when David first defeated Goliath, the women sang from city to city, Saul has killed his thousands and David has 10,000s. David is very famous. And so Nabal, when he speaks roughly to Nabal's, when Nabal speaks roughly to David's men, he's really, and pretending he doesn't know who David is, that's a bunch of nonsense. He knows exactly who David is, and he's just a real, well, obstinate, hard, difficult, harsh, churlish, I guess King James calls it. So anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. Eventually, it was time for David, or for Nabal, to shear sheep. David hears about it, and I guess the wool harvest then, it was a time of celebration in that period. So David, he sends his men who've probably been living off of wilderness rations. They haven't exactly been living it up. And he sends his men to ask not necessarily payment, but he says, ask Saul, you know, can you send me some food? Can you send me some provisions? And in our culture, that's kind of a, you know, maybe you wouldn't probably do that in our culture. But then it was quite an acceptable and normal thing. And we get that from Nabal's servant. Like he didn't think that was at all unreasonable. And he's actually quite concerned. And even Abigail's response shows us that, you know, David and his men, it would have been right to give them some provisions. But as mentioned, you know, Nabal, he acted like he had never heard of David before. And he says, well, there's many people nowadays that break away from their master. So Nabal paints David with the same brush as those bandits and thieves that David was actually protecting Nabal and his men from. So up until this point, in David, we have a little bit of a type of Christ. And David's messengers, we have those that take the message of peace. And in Nabal, we have the unrepentant sinner. And I'll just look a little, we'll just look at this briefly, and then we'll kind of get into Abigail a little bit more. So David, he dwelt among Nabal, really. He dwelt among Nabal, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in the person of the Lord Jesus. And David sends his men to greet Nabal in his name. And the Lord has sent us out to take the name of Jesus with us to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A message of peace is the message that David gives his people, his men to share. And we read that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. David's men, they speak all the words that they are instructed, and then they stop, they listen, they cease. And we're to speak forth words of truth, words of life. And we read, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, Nabal, he scorns the message of peace. He ate, drank, and was merry. We're told that he had the feast of a king in his house. And so David, the real king, wasn't feasting, but Nabal had this feast of a king. And it kind of reminds us a little bit about the prosperous farmer in Luke chapter 12. He had such a great harvest. What shall I do with all my goods? I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says, you fool. This night, your very life, your soul will be required of you. And then whose shall these things be? So indeed, Nabal, he's called a fool here. And indeed, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And... I guess mentioning just before we get back into our story here, when Saul was after David, it was the Lord that was protecting David from the danger of Saul. And here David is the one that's protecting Nabal's men and his stock from danger. So Nabal, he's rude to David. And David, he pretty much loses it. He blows a spunker bunker, so to speak. He's lost his temper, and he's ready to go kill Nabal and all the men of his house. And when David loses his temper, David loses his sense of identity as being a God's anointed king of Israel. And when we lose our temper, are we focused on the insults that are being hurled at us, sent our way? And it's all our vision turns away from the Lord, and then it's all about me. It's all about how I was offended, how I was hurt, how I feel, and what I'm going to do about it. And someone has said that David was on the verge of becoming another Saul in this instance, out to get rid of anyone threatening his status and role. So David's been insulted, and he's out to get revenge. He's out to avenge himself. And at this, David at this moment, David is actually full of himself, but he's empty of God. And again, once David, he's insulted, all the hurt, all the focus, it's on him and instead of on the Lord. And it's not that David wasn't wronged. He absolutely was wronged. And he was spoken evil of, and that happens to us too, doesn't it? David was spoken evil of, and so David and his 400 men, they set out, and they're going to go and kill Nabal. And as we heard last week a little bit about David's mighty men of valor, and what a few of them could do to hundreds. And, I mean, David's taken 400 men, and they defeated Philistine armies, trained army men, and Nabal, drunk Nabal, and his household. They're going to be no match for what David is bringing to them. So David, he's on his way to take care of business, you might say, to avenge himself. And this is where something really stands out concerning David. When we read through Samuel, so many times, time and time again, David says, Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Lord, shall I go up after this troop? Even after his future wife, after Abigail, all these men, their wives were taken from Ziklag and the city was burned. They lost all their wives and their children. He doesn't just rush into it. He says, Lord, should I go after them? And the Lord says, go. So as we read through David's life, he's always saying, Lord, should I do this? Lord, should I do this? He's always asking the Lord before he does something, should I go and do it? But here, we don't read that at all. And it really stands out. David just says, guys, get your swords on. We're going down there and we're gonna get them all. Sometimes when we've been hurt, we've been wronged, instead of asking the Lord what we should do, we just gotta rush into it and set the score straight, get even, or whatever, however we wanna say that. And when he's going, David's going, he's going in his own strength, in the strength of his flesh, and certainly, I meant Nabal and his household, they're no match for them, they would have just slaughtered them all, but he's still going in his own strength. And sometimes it's not about winning the argument, it's about trusting in the Lord. It just goes to show that even a man after God's own heart can be distracted by his own cause instead of the cause of the Lord and the things of the Lord. As an aside, there are things that young men and young women, there are things that men and women and young people who are people after God's own heart, there are things that they should be killing. And that's found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, mortify therefore, or put to death therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So, if there's something that you really want to put to death, let's put to death those things, that those evil desires, the uncleanness, the wrong affections, covetousness, those sorts of things. That's the little aside. Well, Nabal's servants know, one of his servants know he needs to tell Abigail of how Nabal has railed on David. And when Abigail hears the servant, she knows that it's very reasonable, that trouble is coming, and she should be doing something about that. Well, how would you stop a group of armed men who've been ticked off and they're on their way to kill you, or to kill? How would you do that? What would you do? And maybe a better question for us today would be, what would you do when someone is armed with angry words to fire in your direction of you or your loved ones for something that maybe you or your loved ones have caused? There's been something said somewhere along the line, and now here come the people with the angry words. You know, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to prepare your own words to fire back? Should Abigail get the guys ready to fight? Well, I mean, Abigail, she could have been watching and waiting at the door. And when she sees David come, you know, hands on the hips and ready to give him a piece of his mind, and say something like, just what do you think you're doing coming down here to kill us? Don't you know that you're going to regret this someday when you're king? Stop being such an angry man. Go home and just serve the Lord. Like, she could have, you know, had, she could have had some sort of comeback for David, but she doesn't. She's a woman of good understanding. And so she has a feast loaded up on a bunch of donkeys, pack animals, and she heads off in David's direction. And so we have Nabal at his home. We have Nabal at his home, who's a fool. We have David coming down, acting in haste, and we have Abigail in between. And so Abigail, she comes between a man that is a fool and a man that's about to do something foolish. And so she's very much this intercessor in the entire situation here. And I think often the Holy Spirit is like that intercessor in our lives. And he convicts us of things, and he does a work in our hearts. And so Abigail, she's being used of the Lord here. And when she sees David, she falls to her face to the ground, and she begins to speak words of humility and words of peace. Now, if you're on a war path and a beautiful woman falls down in front of you and starts speaking words of humility and peace, what do you do? Well, David listened. Verse 24. And verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let your handmaid, I pray thee, speak in your audience and hear the words of your handmaid." I mean, David doesn't want to harm a beautiful, innocent woman who is, she's before him in humility saying, you know, let this sin, let this fault, let this thing be on me, not on Nabal. Verse 25, she says, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. I, your handmaid, saw not the young men, my Lord, when you did send them." She's admitted to the wrong. She's called it out like it is. It was a foolish thing that my husband did. And at this point, we could ask the question, what if... David, he listens to this counsel, but what if David refused to listen to this intercessory, godly counsel, which was spoken in humility? And how about us? Do we receive godly counsel from our husband or from our wife or from our children or from our parents? And although Abigail's not David's wife at this point, I just want to insert this little proverb. Which says, riches and lands, they're the inheritance of fathers, but a wife, well, the wife is from the Lord. And so our wives are God's gift to us. And so the next time that maybe you're irritated by something your wife does or say, just thank the Lord for this marvelous, wonderful gift that is from the Lord to you in the person of your wife. And as they say, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, just use fertilizer, or if you're organically minded, compost. So back to Abigail here. Abigail allows the beauty of the Lord to flow through her. My papers are absorbing humility. Not humility. Humidity. I need humility. Wait. Abigail allows the beauty of the Lord to flow through her. Verse 28. "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of your handmaid." I mean, what did she do wrong? She says, "Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of your handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in you all your days." So Abigail, she's reminding David of a much higher calling, than avenging himself and than of getting even. She's saying, you know what, your purpose in life is to be engaged in the battles of the Lord. This is what you've been known for. This is what you need to continue to do. You fight the battles of the Lord, she says. And she reminds him, verse 29, yet a man has risen to pursue you. That's Saul. I mean, it's no secret that Saul was out to get David and to seek your soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. So she's saying, David, your life is bound in the bundle of the Lord your God. And it reminds me of the words that say, in him we live and move and have our being. And it reminds me of the words that say, the Lord has beset me behind and before and laid his hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. So Abigail goes on here. She says in verse 29, and the souls of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And Abigail's reminding David of the victory that that came when he fought Goliath. It was the Lord's victory, but here she says that he will sling them out. And sometimes we need to be reminded of the victories that we've had in the Lord. And we just need someone to come along and say, oh, remember that time, and just to be encouraged in the victories that we've had in the Lord. And Abigail, she then goes on to appeal to David's conscience. And she says, you don't want to have this offensive heart later on when you're king. You don't want to shed blood causeless. This isn't something you really want to get involved in. And what's David's response to all of this? In verse 32, David says to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your advice, and blessed be you, which have kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. And David, he goes on to receive everything of her hand. And he says, see, I have accepted your person. I've accepted your gift. Go up to your house in peace. So again, he's speaking peace. He's saying, go in peace. And Abigail, she really reminds us of the words that we read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. This whole verse could be placed right as a banner over Abigail. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And David was caught up in the fault of avenging himself and trying to get even. And Abigail, spiritual Abigail, she approaches him in the spirit of meekness, as Galatians says. She's before him in humility. And this is Abigail is living out this verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So just wrapping this up then. Maybe you desire to be a man or woman or a young person after God's own heart. That's a great desire to have. And maybe you desire to be a person after God's own heart, just like David. But you've been caught up in some battles that weren't really yours, that you weren't really intended to fight. Well, we need to be men and women and youth like David, willing to stop, listen to godly counsel, and change the path we're heading down, and return to the Lord. Return back to the Lord and the battles of the Lord. And perhaps the Lord will call us to be an Abigail in certain situations where we need to be full of humility and meekness and willing to intercede before the Lord for our loved ones and for one another. Whether we find ourselves as the David or Abigail in life circumstances, we most certainly need the humility of the Lord, and we need to turn our attention and our affections from ourselves to the living and the true God. Well, so may the Lord receive all the glory. When Abigail acts in the way of humility as she does here, then David said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. It wasn't, he does say, blessed be your advice and blessed be you. But the first one that gets the praise and the glory is the Lord God. So when when we have that opportunity to be an Abigail, let's not say, oh yes, I did such a wonderful job of diffusing that whole situation. No, it's done in humility, and then the Lord receives all the glory. Blessed be the Lord God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, that we can open it together. We thank you for your working in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray that we would be taken up with you and fighting the battles of the Lord and not our own. And that you would receive all the glory in our lives. And we do commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.